Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a train wreck in the morning. I'm a bitch in the afternoon. Every now and then without warning, I can be really mean toward you. Even in the fire, and yet you see the picture clear as day. I don't know why you lie.
Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. Thank you guys again for tuning in this week. I so appreciate you. And we're going to turn Beyonce down just a tad bit. Again, thank you guys for tuning in to a special edition show of Motivate My Life Radio. We are doing part two today of Breaking Generational Curses. Right, and I'm not sure how many of you guys that were tuned in last week with us. We talked in depth about breaking generational curses. My co-host and I even talked a little bit about some of the generational curses that we have incurred and some of the ones that we had to break and some that were imposed and impacted on our children and so forth. And we didn't get the opportunity last week to just answer a lot of folks' questions. We had a lot of people share their stories. At this point, we're right at about 126. Of course, today we won't be able to get to 126 folks' stories or their questions. However, we did want to take today for the show and try to get to some of those individuals' questions and get them answered live on the air and try to give some great tips. And joining me today again in the studio will be my co-host, LaTanya Taylor. Good afternoon, LaTanya.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Happy Thursday, Teresa, and to everybody out there. How you guys doing today?
I know. I'm so excited. God, this is a really
this is a
deep topic. You know what I mean, LaTanya? LaTanya and I won't go into full details about some of the things that we shared, but we did talk about some personal situations with us and our children and some things and steps that we did on breaking some of those generational curses. I know LaTanya mentioned last week that, you know, she had to take it back biblically and she had to, you know, take her children to church and get to the core. The issues are to break some of those curses, which is really important. So what I want to do today, so we can try to get through as many as possible because our show is limited again. And, you know, if we need part three, hey, you know, we'll take it to part three. I love the fact that, you know, we had over 3,000 listeners last week on this show. What that speaks to me is volume about how serious this topic is. So I'm going to kind of hop right in. LaTanya, what we can do is I'm going to read some of these things that folks have emailed in. And let's see what kind of advice, if any, that we might can help these individuals with. Let's see. We got Melissa from Missouri. Dear Motivate My Life Radio, my name is Melissa, and I have a generational curse as far as drinking. My dad died of alcoholism, and my mother was an alcoholic. My brother currently is in a 12-step program for alcoholism, and now that I feel the alcoholism runs in my family. Now my children are drinking very heavily, as myself, I am drinking heavy as well. I don't get drunk per se, but I do drink 7 days out the week. Folks tell me all the time, there's no way I can escape this because it's a generational curse. This runs in the family. How can I stop this pattern as I see my children are going down the wrong road with the drinking as well? How can I stop? What can I do to stop and interrupt this pattern so it no longer becomes a generational curse? We just talked about this too.
Yeah, we did. And Teresa, if you don't mind, can I jump in first on that one just because it's a little personal to me too as well? Melissa, Teresa, can y'all hear me? I'm sorry.
Hey, I can hear you really well.
Okay, good. Hey, Melissa, I know Teresa probably is going to have some thoughts too, but let me just quickly just share with you, been there, understand exactly what you're going through, have been in your shoes. You know, real quick, I'll tell you. One, my father was not, I don't think he considered himself an alcoholic, but as far as I'm concerned, he was a heavy drinker. You know, every day he was required to have a six-pack or, you know, et cetera. And there were times that I saw him passed out in our living room from over-drinking. And even if I tried to attempt to tell him he had a problem, he did not recognize that. The second piece I want to tell you is that growing up in my house, when my mom and dad were together, my house was a social house. So I saw my family socially drinking, entertaining, partying. There was always couples at our house. They were playing cards. And for me, I took away as, oh, my family has the party house. They're the social couple. My parents really, I thought that that was a great thing, not realizing as I got older that I started walking in some of those same patterns. I started entertaining. I started having people over all the time, and all we were doing was drinking, not realizing where it was going to lead me to later on in life. After that, I ended up becoming a nightclub owner. I owned a nightclub, and I was exposed around alcohol all the time. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm a social drinker. This is what I do because I'm in that environment. I see my parents do it, so it's nothing wrong with it. All along, I was building up the next generation of being a heavy drinker because I'm drinking 4 and 5 nights a week at my nightclub, and I didn't like the person that I was. And so I knew I had to make a change, and I still didn't change. What ended up happening for me, Melissa, is I saw my daughter, my oldest daughter, we got into the nightclub business because she saw me doing it, and she became an excessive drinker. I have gotten phone calls in the middle of the night from police officers stopping because they stopped my daughter for a DUI for drinking. And so I say all this to say I feel like my daughter now is in that generational curse. And what we had to end up doing, Melissa, is as Teresa stated earlier, I had to really just take it back to God. I had to take it back to the church and really get my stuff together. And I had to the first step I'm going to tell you is I had to fully surrender and accept that I had a problem. And now that accept that I have now passed this problem onto my daughter. I didn't see myself truly. I saw my daughter. And when I saw her that night and I picked her up drunk, sitting at a red light, passed out, and thank God the police officer knew me and called me, I saw myself. And I said, you know, if I don't do something, this is going to continue to happen for her and her kids or maybe even my daughter, my youngest daughter. And so I had to really, one, just stop and surrender and realize I lost control and accept that. I could not do it on my own. I realized that I'm sinning, my kids are sinning, and I really just had to take it back to God and ask him to just help me, guide me, direct me. I really had to pray. Two, I had to get myself away from that environment. Stop being around alcohol. Stop being around people who drink alcohol. Stop being around people who abuse it and who are excessive with it. I had to stop being around those people. I changed careers, meaning I got out of the bar industry. I had to truly remove myself from around those things because if it's around you, you're going to be tempted. So you have to get from around those things, and you have to learn to be the example for your kids because they're watching you. Mine was watching me. So it has to start with you, and then you have to maybe seek some additional guidance and counseling in regard to that. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, we don't really believe, Teresa talked about last time, we don't believe in counseling and really reaching out and getting help, but it's nothing wrong with getting involved in a group and really having somebody to talk to who are going through similar challenges that you're going through. And then if you can't convince your kids about it, I don't remember what age you said your kids was, but invite them to come to support you. Don't tell them it's about them if you're experiencing that with your children. What I had to do is make my child feel like she was coming to support me and it wasn't about her. But then she was able to see the bigger picture once I brought her into my circle of getting help and going to my Bible studies with me on Wednesday nights and things like that and getting around people to help me see myself differently. I hope this wasn't a long-winded answer, but I just wanted to give you why I felt like this was very personal to me and just sharing to you exactly what I did. And I think that if you take that approach, it'll help you. Teresa, I don't know what you would add, but that would be my best response to you, Melissa. And I pray for you, lady, because I know there are people that pray for me.
Yeah, and you know, truthfully, thank you for that. Thank you for that transparency, LaTanya.
I think
at the end of the day, we do know destructive relationship patterns can get passed down from one generation to the next. We know this. And so what I would add to that, you know, far as the drinking is concerned, is that, I would try to stop the pattern now, but you have to be an example. So, Melissa, you know, I know you said you're a heavy drinker. So you have to be an example because what happens? Our children start to model what they see. And as Tanya said, when she would see her daughter drunk or her daughter pass out, she saw herself. And then, you know, it's hard for us sometimes to take the accountability and take the responsibility of saying, hey, you know, I am a part of why she is drinking or he's drinking the way that they're drinking. A lot of times parents, we don't want to take responsibility. So very courageous of you to call in and share your story. But I definitely would start with trying to get some help. I think that's a great approach that LaTanya shared. You know, make them think that they're coming to support you. I would also have them, even if they were going to, you were going to talk to someone about alcoholism or something like that, have them come and so as if they're supporting you so they can get some messages. You know how many times I've taken my children somewhere that really it had nothing to do with them, but I've taken them with me somewhere, and they would, you know, we would leave, and they'd be like, wow. It, like, things do resonate with your children. Not sure exactly how old they are, but obviously they're old enough to drink. But things resonate with your children when you take them somewhere and they hear stuff and it doesn't come from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try to fix it yourself. That's one thing I would say. Don't try to fix it yourself. Where you can start the process is to stop drinking in front of them. Stop allowing them to see you intoxicated. Stop allowing them to see you drink every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't go preach to the choir if you're not doing the same action.
Amen.
So it has to start with you. It has to start with you. So that, you know, so start with you and you know, and if you feel that you do have a, you know, an issue or problem, of course, we always know that there's some, you know, there are plenty of facilities out here that help folks that need help with alcoholism. Obviously, you know that. You said your brother just is about to graduate from a 12-step program, so you know that. So this is what your children are seeing. So if you want to break the cycle, it has to start with you. And it is never too early to get children in a program either. You know, I know parents feel like, you know, oh, I don't think it's that bad. Well, that becomes a problem because you don't, if you catch it early, a lot of times you may can kind of get control over it. If you let it get out of control, it's hard to get it under control. So just be mindful. It's never too early. And I know teenagers and young adults, I know they think that's a happening thing. When they go out and they party, they drink. That's what they do. That's what we do. You know, we will go out at a teenage, at a young age. What we do? We drink. You didn't party without drinking. It's almost like they went hand in hand. But if you see that there is, obviously, there are some issues going on with that, let it start with you, and then I would definitely seek out and try to get some help on a family level to break the generational curse, because what's going to happen, their children are going to probably drink heavy as well. It's a destructive relationship pattern, and it's going to just keep going and going and going until somebody actually stops it. So, Melissa, I hope that helped you out today. Again, thanks for sharing your story on Motivate My Life Radio. All right, we're going to go to the next question. All right, we have Tanya. Tanya from New Jersey.
Okay.
Hi, Motivate My Life Radio. I wanted to share a story. My dad recently died of drug overdose, and he was 58 years old. And he recently died of drug overdose. I also my children, I have never been on drugs. I have never done drugs. However, my sister is on drugs. Most of the time we can't find her because she's always out in the street doing drugs, and she's only 26 years old. And I'm really scared that she, the same thing is going to happen to my sister that happened to my dad. Then I recently found out that my 17-year-old does Xanax. I think she's trying to say Xanax. My 17-year-old is taking Xanax pills and drinking alcohol. I see a destructive road ahead for my sister and my daughter. I really need help. How can I help both of them so they don't end up dead like my dad is at this point, crying out for help? What should I do? Well, Tanya, let me say this. First of all, you know, our condolences for losing your dad to a drug overdose. Nobody ever should lose a parent, period. But you know, at the end of the day, to this magnitude, and then to have your child and your sister on drugs, I know this has to be a difficult time for you. But what I would do is, you say you've never done drugs, reach out and get them help. Get your daughter help and get your sister help. Don't think at 17 years old and your daughter's taking Xanax pills. We just finished talking about a situation with alcoholism. It's the same situation. It's a destructive family pattern. So get your daughter some help. Drug rehab, some type of facility. Actually, I have a friend of mine. Her daughter was, and just to tell a quick story, her daughter was 15, and my friend used to be on drugs. She used to be on drugs, and she's a recovering drug addict. And so her daughter just smoked weed, and she felt like, okay, well, she's just smoking marijuana. But then her daughter had started to smoke all the time, and even to the point where she started smoking in the house. So my friend saw that her daughter was going down a destructive pattern, and she saw herself, because she said she started out with weed, and then she always needed something strong, and that's how she got on the cocaine and the so forth. So where I'm going with this conversation is, don't, and she was 15, she sent her daughter to Florida to some facility. They did continue her education there in that facility, but she got her daughter help at 15. Okay, so your daughter's 17. But you need to get her some help. There are so many young adults and teens now, these popping pills, prescriptive drugs, they're selling them on the street. And I would get, the thing about your sister, your sister's 26. Unfortunately, your sister's going to have to want help. You can reach out to her and try to guide her to get help. But a lot of times, at, you know, that age, you know, people have to want the help. But your daughter at 17, you can definitely get out there and get her in a rehab and so forth, because technically you're still her legal guardian and you still are responsible for her at 17. But definitely reach out to a drug program in your area. You can reach out to some out of town. If you need some assistance or some help with that, please feel free to send us an email at mediarelations@TeresaMurphyInc.com, and we'll see if we can actually get someone to help you with that. But definitely that 17-year-old can be saved, because what happens, prescriptive drugs turn into something else. You know, we know this, you know, that they're drinking the alcohol with it, and just, you know, and my heart goes out to you just to see that your dad overdosed on drugs, and then to go see that your sister and your daughter are doing drugs. You know, that's some pretty heavy stuff, I would say. But Tanya, again, take action now. Don't wait and see what's going to happen. Just take action now. And again, reach out to us if you need, you know, our assistance with anything. Tanya, did you want to have anything to chime in on?
I think you're dead on, Teresa. Again, you know, my heart goes out to you, Tanya. And if your sister does, the only thing I'll go a step further, if your sister does decide and she really wants help, and you really can see and believe it, and she, and at some point if she comes to you, the best thing is to get her out of New Jersey. If that's her comfort zone, is that where she gets her drugs, or, you know, how is she getting high and the people she's around, the best thing you can do for her, she's going to have to get, even if you put her in a program in New Jersey, I'm not saying that won't work. I'm saying the best thing is to get her relocated to another state and a program where she doesn't know anybody and won't really have the easy access. You know, I know people say if people want to get high, they're going to get high. I agree. But at least that's the only additional measure I say that you can do is get her out of the New Jersey environment where she has access, put her somewhere in the country where she don't know anybody in a good program, if that's what she, if she wants to get help, because that's a personal choice. And as for your child, the 17, like Teresa said, everything Teresa said is dead on. They need a sponsor. They need somebody who's been there, where been there and done that. You know, another teen that age that kind of started in that cycle, and what that experience has done to them probably would help. Definitely need a sponsor that, that they can relate to and can understand what they're really going through. But, you know, you got to think about it. Is something else underlining with the 17-year-old? Why did they pick up those pills in the first place? So you definitely got some digging to do to see where that, where else that's coming from, because you haven't. You were able to avoid it. So what happened with this child? So, and again, like Teresa,
what do you think? Maybe it skipped down, Tanya? Not to cut you off.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It can skip generations.
Yeah, I do think that, Teresa. Absolutely right. We've seen it. I do think that it can skip. So my prayers just go out, Teresa. That's a tough one. But your child can be saved. You know, your 17-year-old, wrap your arms around and just put your focus. I know job's important, money's important, but one thing you can't get back is your child. And the same thing I tell people about their parents, you know, whatever it takes, the sacrifice, the commitment, you know, invest it all. Do what you have to do, you know, but there are some great resources out there too as well. But I know me, I'll just stop everything I can do in any way that I can and just, you know, be there for my child and, you know, whatever, like I said, whatever it takes.
I totally agree. And Tanya, I hope that helps you out a lot. And again, get help if you need our resources or you need someone to help you and assist you in that. Please feel free to email us. And I hope everything works out for you. All right. Wow, that was pretty deep.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just say something before we take the next question. You know, Tanya, you know, guys, we're hearing a lot of things right now, and you know, they're heartbreaking. But they're happening today in society. They're happening every day in families. And I think the key is don't accept this is how it's going to be because this is how it's always been. Don't let that be your story. And then, you know, and that's just kind of what I wanted to add to some of these things that we're hearing today with some of these folks sharing their story. You know what I mean, Tanya? Don't feel like, you know, hey, it runs in the family. No, it runs out right now. You know, it stops right now. It ran in the family until it got to me. I'm stopping it, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, so I totally agree Yeah, we got to stop making the excuses. Like you said before, this is what it's always been. This is how it is. You know, that absolutely is not true. So I totally agree. We got to stop making excuses and take control of the situation and raise my hand and say, I'm going to make the change and make a commitment to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to. So just wanted to touch on that. All right, moving forward. Who do we have next? We have Allison, Washington, D.C. Okay. Hi, Motivate My Life Radio. Oh, my God, this subject is dead on from everything that I am currently dealing with. I grew up in an abusive household. I have four sisters and one brother. We grew up in an abusive household. And now, abusive household, my dad was the abuser. Now my brother abuses his girlfriend. And my sister has abusive behavior. My sister abuses her friends. She can't keep a boyfriend because of her abusive behavior, and my brother's girlfriend recently was put in the hospital from him beating on her. I have a 14-year-old son, and my 14-year-old son recently got in an altercation with a young lady at school that he pushed down the stairs. I really need help because it looks like this generational curse of abuse is continuously on into my 14-year-old son. What should we do? You know, this is another situation of destructive behavior. This is another situation of destructive behavior. Now, as far as the abuse is concerned, that hits home for me, Allison, because I grew up in an abusive household. So I do believe that that can keep going, because I had misplaced anger from all the abuse. And then, you know, I got involved with an abuser, and then my daughter got involved with somebody that was abused, and it just keeps going until that cycle gets breaking. Again, a dysfunctional pattern in the family. But if you have a 14-year-old already thinking it's okay to put his hands on girls, you know, at this age, you know, I definitely would seek counseling for him. Because what's going to happen, that 14-year-old at some point is going to grow up into a man. And he's going to be putting his hand on his girlfriend. He's going to be putting his hands on his wife. I'm not sure how much time he spends with your brother, but your brother's abusive to his girlfriend. So that's all he's known. It's abusive behavior. Your sister is abusive, you said, to her friends. So he actually has instilled this abuse. And unfortunately, you got to go back to the core. And it started with how you guys grew up. It started with the people that you were involved with. So you got to go back to the core of the problem, because first of all, you want to identify what the issue is so you don't keep that cycle going. But you're going to have to get your son some help. At 14, there's no way he should have, you know, think it's okay to put his hands on women. I'm not sure how biblical you guys are. You know, start at the church. You know, start with prayer. Sometimes you got to pray these curses, you know, off of your family. And I know people feel like, you know, hey, praying is not going to change it. No, prayer changes everything. And sometimes you got to pray these curses off of your family in the meantime while you're executing a plan on how you're going to move forward with getting these individuals help. And don't just stop with your son. Try to get your brother help. You know, try to get your sister help. Again, I know they're grown and they have to want the help, but try to get them all help. Maybe you guys could do family counseling. You know, a lot of times I think people stay broken in the inside because they don't do anything about it. There's so many different resources now that people can utilize to change their lives. You know, don't watch your family sink because of this abusive pattern of abuse from men. And I hate that you had to go through that as a child, but I definitely can relate. I grew up in an abusive household, and I just, you know, I stopped my cycle. You know, because I look back at my daughters and I said, well, hey, you know, my daughter's dating somebody. Oh, gosh, she reminds me of her dad. You know, I had already dated somebody like my dad. So how do I stop the cycle? I have to set an example and let her know that respect is earned, right? And you should be respected. Don't ever let anyone tell you you should not be respected. But if you're not taught that, right? Because when you're coming up, the first person that teaches you about being how to be respected and how to get dated is your dad. Yeah. And if he's not an example, you get out here and you find all types of examples a lot of times with men that model your dad. So I definitely would say, you know, get your 14-year-old son in some counseling. Maybe you guys, again, can do some family counseling. And Tanya, did you want to chime in on this one as well with Allison?
The only thing... Yeah, I think Teresa touched on last week about hurt people. And I truly believe when people act out based upon these type of behaviors and things, there are some things bottled up within that person. There is something truly going on. Hurt people do hurt people. And, you know, their only solution to when they're being hurt is to hurt somebody, or that's what they've always seen. So they've seen it, that's the resolution. You hurt somebody else. That's all they've seen in the patterns you guys are talking about. And typically, I'll tell you, I've seen that has something to do with it. You know, you have to realize as a child growing up, you're taught certain things, and if you're not taught it, it's based upon what you see. So if you see that's the resolution, mm-hmm. to come back with balance, then that's what you're going to come back with. So it's not something that is in your heart. That's not in your heart. You know, so that's something that you've developed, you've learned, you've seen. So the only way to get to a resolution is to figure out why you're not happy. A lot of these things, lack of happiness and lack of loving yourself, and you have to figure out how to get back to that happy space. How do I love myself so I don't hurt somebody else and stop hurting myself? And some of it is truly just self-love, self-care, and getting in front of somebody to talk you through that so that you can identify that. And then you can put some true actions in place to fix it. But I think some of it, Teresa, truly is just lack of self-love, not loving yourself. And this is the only thing you've seen. So you got to figure out how to love yourself so that you can begin to love on people, because we're not created to hurt people. That's not how we were created. We aren't, guys. I'm telling you, we're not. That's just the fruit that we developed because that's what we've seen and that's what's grown out of us because that's what we're around. We weren't developed to hurt people. That's not why we were put here. And so that's things that you've developed on the way. So you got to figure out how to get back to that point. And that's first figuring out how to love you. What makes you feel good so that you don't react that way? You know, what are the things that's hurting you so you can figure out how to stop it? Does that make sense, Teresa? I know this is a tough one. I'll be honest with you. This was a tough one to my heart. But we weren't born to hurt people. We weren't born to be violent. That's something you've learned over the years. That's not we weren't born that way. So, you know, we got to go back to figuring out how to love and love on ourselves because that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And most people that hurt people, they don't love themselves. You know what I mean? There are a lot of those folks are lost. And as Tanya said, they don't know how to love. And they don't know how to love. It's unfortunate, but everybody doesn't know how to love. Let's just remember that, you know. Everybody doesn't know how to love. So, you know, again, I definitely would try, I would go and, you know, schedule some family counseling. And I also would definitely start there and definitely start praying these curses off of your family. All right, thank you for writing in to MML Radio. I appreciate it, Allison, and hopefully everything works out. Again, I'm talking to all my listeners, not just the individuals that are on the call today. I'm talking to everyone. You know, if you guys need any help with any resources, please feel free to reach out to us. Let's go on to the next question. All righty, let's see who this is. All right, let's see. We have Darian. Darian lives in Williamsburg, Virginia. All right. Hi, I wanted to talk about, Motivate My Life Radio. I want to talk about how no one in my family is productive. My mom always worked three jobs, a lot of times minimum wage jobs, to try to take care of her family. My dad could rarely keep a job, is what I can remember when we were young. None of us went to college. My parents didn't go to college either. So now my sister and my brother and myself, we are in dead-end jobs as well. I am 36 years old, and I've yet to get a career-oriented position. I continuously get jobs, like in retail, just to make ends meet. I normally can't make it from one check to the next. I'm not sure, is this a generational curse that we can't get ahead and we're struggling just like my parents did, and I don't know exactly what to do about it, how to get a skill set. My brother dropped out of high school and did not finish. I didn't finish high school, but I went back and got my GED. So I don't want to continuously living my life at 30-plus years old, not from paycheck to paycheck, and I feel that I'm reliving my mom all over again. How do I break this curse of not being productive and not living a fulfilling life?
Teresa, we know about this one.
Oh, boy. I'm going to, you know, firstly, I'm going to say, you know, I can relate, first of all, because my mom, when I was coming up, my mom worked at a dry cleaner's, right? And the benefit to that is we never had to iron anything. Probably why I'm not really that good at ironing right now. But my mom didn't go to school. My dad didn't go to college. But my dad went to a trade school, and then he went and got his license, his engineering license, and that's how he became an architectural engineer. But my mom always struggled. My mom right now today doesn't even use a computer. Like, she doesn't even get on a computer because she's always been in the blue-collar market. And as much as you want to be like your parents and you want to model your parents, a lot of me, for me, I wanted to do the opposite, right? So I didn't want to struggle like my mom struggled. And I know this is a touchy subject because at 30-something, I know you're thinking, how do you get out of this? And I really do believe this is a dysfunctional pattern, a family pattern as well. Because that you are in a family where you don't see success. And if you're not in a family where you see success, how do you motivate yourself to be successful? And that's where I had a hard time because I didn't see it, but I wanted it. So that's the difference. I didn't see it. It wasn't modeled for me. My mom did become an entrepreneur because at some point she owned a dry cleaners down in Hollywood, Florida for about 20 years. She did own a dry cleaner, so she did become an entrepreneur. So that piece was already in my blood, I guess, in my spirit, to see my mom own her own business and things of that nature, but to want it. So maybe you need to start hanging around some like-minded folks. Yeah, I think it may have triggered down, you know, to you guys not to be motivated to do anything, but don't accept it. Don't accept that your life, you're always going to have a dead-end job. You're not going to have a career. Don't accept in your life that you can't do better. I really believe you do better when you want to do better. And I think you're going to have to start, first of all, change your circle. And that doesn't mean not to hang around your family because, of course, we don't pick our families. You know, that's not something that we have an option in doing. You know, our families are given to us, basically. We don't get to pick them like we do our friends. But I think you need to go hang around some folks that are successful, some folks that are in career-oriented jobs. Go find out what it is that you want to do and take some courses. Get some training. They have a lot of different trainings at community colleges. First of all, you have to find out what is it exactly you would like to do far as your career is concerned. What type of job could you see yourself in? What type of company could you see yourself working for? So that you have to, your thought process is going to have to exude where you are right now. Otherwise, you're going to stay stuck. And I think the first tip for this is you got to go hang around some folks that are already successful in their careers so you can get the motivation that you need to be able to move forward. Don't allow anyone to tell you it runs in a family. You know, we just talked about this three questions ago.
Yeah.
Don't allow anyone to tell you, that it runs in a family. Tanya, what's your take on that?
And, yeah, she mentioned, Teresa, about somebody having working three jobs and doing what needed to be done. First of all, yeah, I don't know if that was her mom she was talking about, but your mom definitely wasn't lazy, right? Because she got out and did what she needed to do based upon what she knew to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Lack of what she knew, right? So this is not an mm-hmm. issue about, laziness or not, the drive is not there. It's just lack of not knowing. What you don't know, you just don't know. So if you don't know how to, be a top performer, if you don't know how to do something, you just don't know how. So my first thing I'm going to tell you is whatever job you have and you're doing today, you need to do it to the best of your ability. You need to be great at it. You need to perform and outperform everybody in your job, because if that's something that you want to continue to do or that industry, in order to do that, you got to be recognized. Nobody's not going to recognize somebody who just comes in and do mediocre every day, because you already have disadvantages. You already said you didn't get your high school diploma, but you got your GED. You don't have any additional education. So right now you're already below the belt of maybe of some of the other people, that now have college degrees and all these other things that are giving them more and better opportunities. So you got to want to perform at any job that you have. And I mean, you need to outperform everybody. If you want your boss's job, you want to get rid of them, you need to be performing at that level and working toward that level. Teresa hit on investing in yourself. You have to invest in yourself, whether that's mm-hmm. training, she spoke on that. But I will tell you this, if you want to sit at the table with the best, you have to learn how to get to the point to be able to do that. And for me, I remember
mm-hmm.
I had challenges navigating in corporate America, but I read every day. I read the newspaper. I listened to audios, listened to books, educated myself, filled myself with knowledge. Knowledge is power. You got to study. You got to study. You know, while they working, you work and study. You know, so you got to do a little bit more two-step because, see, you're a little behind the belt. And if you can go back to school, go back to school. If that's not an option, or you that's not you, if school is not you, some people's school is not them, so they have trades and they have skills. So you got to figure out where you fall in that bucket. But don't blame this on all the generation, because one thing I will say, you said somebody had three jobs. They ain't lazy, so they know how to get out there and hustle. They probably weren't the best job
because
they were having to work three. So use that as your platform of how do I now take all of that and get to where I really want to go? And you have to identify what your goal is. and what you're trying to get to. But I'm telling you, knowledge is power. Information, fill yourself with information. Some things, I don't care what you go to school, you can go to school all day long, but some things you got to do on your own. And Teresa knows that. You can get the college degrees, but if you're not knowledgeable and you don't have information and you don't know where you're going and you're not sitting at the table with the right people and around the right crowds, it doesn't matter. I've seen people with college degrees that are not successful. So the power is within you. You got to, mm-hmm. you have to get out there and yep. you have to do it. Yeah.
I can tell you that, like I said, I came from a household where my dad, you know, made XYZ amount of money, but you have to want it bad enough. I don't have a bachelor's degree. I don't have a master's degree, but, you know, we make, our businesses make seven figures.
Mm-hmm.
Our businesses make seven figures. I mean, I
Amen.
Have one, two, three, four. We run four businesses. I mean, I had to literally count.
Yes.
But we make seven figures, and so it can be done. But, you know, you got to get in the right room of the folks that are doing it. You got to have that motivation, Tanya. That's key.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like you said, obviously your mom wasn't lazy because, I mean, somebody lazy is not going to work three jobs. So, somebody lazy is not interested in working three jobs. Hell, you know, we got folks who won't even work one job, let alone three.
No.
So we know that hustle is in your family. That hustle is in your family. You just got you got to take some accountability now for where you are. And you also got to take some steps to change where you are. And so we appreciate you writing in, but the first thing I would do, and you might want to reach out to a career coach. Reach out to a career coach.
Yes.
They're out there. Man, we got resources now, Tanya, that we didn't have back in the day.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, and reach out to a reputable career coach that can kind of help you and guide you and get you on the right track, because you definitely need to go and have a conversation with someone, a career advisor, determine what you want to do.
Yeah.
And more importantly, set a date, set a goal, get it done. Do you have a vision board? Maybe you can go create one of those and kind of be able to look at your life in a bigger picture. You know, all these things can help you moving forward. This you definitely can change. It's never too late. 36 doesn't matter. Never too late to change your lives. Hell, they have us working now until we're 70 before you can retire. So, you know, you definitely have time. You just have to want it. So just try to shift your mindset, definitely, and get moving. Matter of fact, the first thing you should do right now, you know, is reach out to someone that's already successful in their careers. See, can you get some mentorship? You know what I mean, Tanya? I think that'll help.
Absolutely. They're on, Teresa. I love that. Yeah.
All right. Thank you again for writing into MML Radio. We appreciate it. All right, so let's get on to this is some good stuff today.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, and it's funny because, you know, it's amazing how so many dysfunctional family patterns are out here in the world that have kept people from growing, Tanya, like keep people from excelling in their lives because they've been told this is how it's going to be because this runs in the family.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't escape that because it runs in the family. No.
Right.
You tell folks, and the next person that tells you that something runs in the family, I don't care if it's mom, dad, you can say it in a respectful manner, but no, it runs out today with me. You know, and they're
exactly.
to be different. They're, you know, they're not to inherit the family traits, particularly the bad ones. There are some family traits
exactly.
we do want. so all of them are not a curse, but right now we're focusing on the ones that are negative. All right, so let's
exactly.
move forward. All right, so we have Terry. Terry is from Dallas, Virginia. Hi, guys. I just wanted to write in and tell you about a generational curse that has been going on with my family for four or five generations. It started with my great-great-great-granddad. My granddad was a heavy smoker, as cigarettes, cigars, not drugs. And then his son was a heavy smoker, and my dad was a heavy smoker. And now I smoke cigarettes, sometimes three to four packs within 2 days. And now my son, who is 21, he's smoking 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes within 3 to 4 days. And recently, my grandpa died of cancer from smoking. He had cancer on his lungs from smoking cigarettes. I was told that everyone in our family smoked cigarettes. So just not outside of the people that I named, there are several other people in my family that smoke cigarettes. After seeing my grandpa die from lung cancer, I'm a little concerned about continuously smoking cigarettes, as well as my son who is smoking cigarettes. I've tried to stop several times, and I have not had any success or any luck. But I am really afraid, and I keep getting told it's not a big deal. Everybody in the family smokes. What do you think I should do? Well, this is my thing with this song. What is my thing with this cigarette smoking? Now, this too could be a generational curse, and it is inherited, because I do know families that smoke, and everybody in the family, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody, but a lot of folks in the family smoke cigarettes. You know, my dad smoked cigarettes, but it was never a habit I picked up. My sister didn't pick it up, because my mom didn't smoke cigarettes, so I didn't grow up in a household with two parties. But I don't know if this is actually just like a curse, or is this just a bad habit that family members have, far as the cigarette smoking is concerned, because where was it picked up from? So I guess if you're saying it's 3-4 generations of everybody smoking in your, mostly the folks smoking in your family, cigarette smoking, I know for a fact you can break that habit. I'm not downplaying it, but you can break a cigarette habit. They got things out here now medically that can help you break habits from smoking cigarettes. I would definitely, whatever you decide to do or who you reach out to help you break these habits, you can even go to the pharmacy now. They got things now. They even got prescriptions now that can help you stop smoking cigarettes. But you have to want to stop smoking the cigarettes. And secondly, I mean, if you had someone die in your family, your granddad died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes, that would be, you know, for me personally, that would be a concern for me as well. And I know it's not something you wake up tomorrow and say, hey, that's, you know, I'm not going to do the cigarette anymore, but reach out to the pharmacy, reach out to your doctor if you have a primary care doctor, and see what they can offer you to stop smoking the cigarettes if that's, you know, really truly your main concern. And definitely get your child help. Don't allow him, because cigarettes do kill folks. Cigarettes kill folks just like any other drug. Secondhand smoke kills people. So if you're smoking around, if you're smoking around somebody that doesn't smoke, they might as well smoke too. And I don't think people realize that though, because secondhand smoke does kill folks. But this is a habit, like any other
bad habit.
And then cigarette. And you know what? It smells. And the difference about cigarette smokers, you know, most folks are chain smokers. Listen, you're saying that you smoke 2 to 3 packs of cigarette within 2 days. Mm. That's a lot of cigarettes. Yeah. So are you smoking because are you dealing with something? Are you smoking just because it is a habit? Like, you have to find out why you're smoking excessively outside of saying, well, everybody in my family smoked.
Yeah.
Because, again, this habit can be broken like any other habit. And reel your son back in, because cigarette smoke is not good for him either at his age.
Yeah. I think this is just a bad habit. It's just like an addiction to anything else. It's just an addiction to cigarettes. I don't think this is a pattern. I don't think this is a curse. I think it's just like somebody who excessively eats. You know, people said they eat and gain weight because their nerves are bad or they're stressed and they're going through things. I think smoking is probably something similar to that. I think that we use it as an excuse for whatever is going on. I think it's just really a bad habit. If this is something that's just happening in your family right now, what I would do is listen, it's going to be hard for you to do it by yourself if everybody else is smoking and your child is smoking and see everybody else doing it. Have a family meeting. Call everybody together. Somebody has to be the leader and say, this is a problem. We've already lost grandmother. We lost, you know, or it was a great granddad. We've lost somebody to smoking in our family and due to cancer. Who wants to be next? You know, it's almost like you need to have a family meeting, have somebody come in, and you guys need some tough love in regard to, you know, this is a personal choice that each one of you guys are choosing to make. You can't blame this on anybody else. It's a personal choice, and you guys need to come together as a family. Somebody needs to take the lead, and you guys need to truly sit and make a commitment that you guys want to change this. If the family's not bought in, get one or two people in part of your peer group and to help you to sit down and decide as a group we're going to help each other, we're going to get past this point. But this is a personal choice to smoke. It's a bad habit. It is something that can be broken. And I did everything Teresa said as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just think this is a bad habit. I mean, that, you know what I mean, Tony? I just think, like, this is a bad habit.
It's almost like
Tony said, eating. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, some people got eating disorders. People eat for comfort.
Absolutely.
People eat when they're depressed. You know, people just have different reasons why they eat, which is so crazy because this next letter that I'm reading is talking about obesity. So, but, reach out to your pharmacy and try to get you some help in that area and see what they can offer you to stop the cigarette smoking and actually whatever they can get your son as well. But I don't really necessarily think it's an actual curse. I just think it's just generationally you guys picked up a smoking habit. All right, so our next question is about obesity. Hi, I am a 40. I'm a 40-year-old woman, and I weigh 320 pounds. I have two children that are 17 and 19, and they also, my daughter weighs 290 pounds, and my son weighs 270 pounds. They are also obese. My mom is obese as well. My mom weighs 350 pounds. She is now getting medical help because she's having a lot of health issues due to her weight and being obese. My dad was also overweight. He is now in a nursing home getting around the clock for his obesity. Obesity is a generational curse, I think, that has been imposed on me and my family. We need help. We have tried a numerous of different situations of trying to get help in this obesity. Now my grandson is 3 years old, and now he's overweight. Please help. How do we stop this obesity generational curse? Well, okay, now this right here definitely can be a generational curse because obesity can run in the family. But, again, it runs out today with you. So what I want you to do, okay, because now you got your children are obese, and now they're your children's children, a three-year-old should not be obese, okay? So we have a problem. And so what I want you to do is say it runs out. You need to reach out to a medical weight doctor. Go through your doctor first and see what they have to offer, and then see where they can actually refer you to, reach out to them. But I need you today to reach out to someone today in the process. Change your mindset to own that you are going to stop the obesity generational curse in your family because obesity kills people. You got high blood pressure, diabetes. I mean, it comes with so many different heart failure. It comes with so many different health issues. And now your three-year-old son is obese. It has to stop, but you have to lead it and you have to guide it. And you got to be an example. So reach out to whomever you need to reach out to today to see where you can start to change your life, your children's lives, and your grandson's life. Because this is definitely something serious. I know you said your dad is obese as well, and he's in a nursing home getting around-the-clock care, and your mom is obese. So, you know, Tanya, this technically is a generational curse because who taught, who's teaching you how to eat healthy, right?
Right.
Who taught your kids how to eat healthy? And you know what I used to tell parents when they used to have overweight children or obesity children? I'd say, well, it starts with you because who's buying the food?
Exactly.
Who's buying the food? When your children are coming up and you got obese children at a young age, how are they eating? Who is buying the food? And so it has a lot to do with even myself. You know, I eat pretty healthy, and I've been eating healthy for a very long time now. But I had to get, you know, I had to tell myself, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is when my children were still in my home. Hey, I can't walk around here eating healthy and I'm taking care of myself. And then I'm feeding my kids whatever they want to eat that's unhealthy. You know, you have to do that as a joint force. I do it now with my husband. I can't feed, just buy stuff and cook all this stuff that you like to eat that's unhealthy all the time. That's just not how that's going to work while I continuously take care of myself. So it has to start with you, because you don't want to see your children, nothing happen to your children from being obese and because of food. And food, unfortunately, now is killing folks for real. Back in the day, you could just eat all types of stuff, and, you know, now they're putting chemicals on stuff and all that. So not only are you obese, but the foods that you're intaking now can actually kill you. Get some help today and guide your children, and you guys get that weight off. And as a matter of fact, if you need, I'm not sure what city you're in right now, but if you need help in trying to get the weight off and you're really serious and you're really ready, just reach out to us at mediarelations@teresamurphyinc.com, because I'm definitely down for helping folks get on the right track. But it's going to be a journey. You're going to have to be consistent. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, if you're at 350, I'm not sure what your height is. Yeah. You didn't mention that, but, you know, we know that 350 definitely is definitely overweight. So, Tanya, what did you have to say about that?
Well, Teresa, this is definitely your lane. So, you know, everything to Teresa said is definitely in her lane. She's my go-to person sometimes with challenges with food and eating and exercising. So, you know, for me, I just appreciate having a partner that I can, a friend and a colleague and somebody I can pick up and constantly give me direction in regard to these things, because we don't know it all. And if you didn't grow up doing these things, if you didn't grow up cooking, if you didn't grow up, you know, eating healthy, then it's definitely a challenge to try to overcome. And so the best thing is to connect with somebody who has done it, who is doing it, and who's living it. Because it's no such thing as diet. They don't work. It truly has to be a lifestyle change. And I am still in the process of growing into it being a lifestyle change. I'm still learning to cook more and choosing better options and things of that sort. So it's a constant struggle for our society. And you just have to go back. One of the things that reminds me all the time, I read the Bible, and one of the things it talks about, they grew crops. They planted the food. You know what I mean? They knew what they were eating because they were planting it themselves. They were growing it themselves. They harvest. So it's just one of those things of how do we get back to that? And I see now schools are trying, and, you know, they're trying to make better choices for our youth. But, again, as Teresa said, this starts at home. We get this to ourselves. We have to take responsibility for it, because you can't blame anybody else. You choose what you go out there and buy. You choose what you decide to stop at fast food. It's a personal choice. But I do agree, Teresa, go to your doctor, seek help. Go to a food expert. Try to get on track, but you guys got to do it together as a team. It's hard to do it by yourself. I'm going to tell you, it's tough. You got to have a team around you. You need some guidance. So my prayers go out to you guys to truly focus on getting healthy. But Teresa, this is definitely your lane.
Yeah, I know. You know, because I mean, I tell, you know, and it's hard. Okay, so I'm not telling you right now, hey, you know, get up tomorrow and, you know, go join the gym and all that. It's mental. So it's way bigger than you going to get a membership. Don't even waste your money right now going to get a membership right now. Right now you need to invest in getting someone to coach and guide you on how to get started.
Yeah.
And then you got to shift your mindset.
Yeah.
It starts with the mind. Because that's why LaTanya just touched on diets don't work. Because, see, diets are temporary. What you want to do is have a healthy lifestyle, right? Because that's consistent. Like, that's what I have. I have a healthy lifestyle. It's consistent. Because, you know, diets are good to jumpstart. If you're like, hey, I want to drop a couple of pounds, you know, for whatever the reason is. But if you're looking to change your lifestyle and you're trying to keep from having certain health issues and being overweight, it has to be consistent. And mind, body, and spirit. And I tell folks, it's great to lose the weight, but it's more importantly to stay healthy. So reach out to your doctor first, and see what kind of services they can offer you. But, yeah, do it for your children, if nothing else. You know, your grandson, 3 years old and overweight, do it for your children. You know, he's going to grow up now and be, you know, overweight. You know, her mom's overweight, the dad's overweight. So that is a generational curse. Because at the end of the day, Tanya, if nobody's teaching you how to eat healthy and why it's important, you know, where do you learn it from? You know,
absolutely.
That's why, you know, again, I'm a big advocate on seeing healthy moms and then the children not healthy. You got to be careful with that.
And there's a lot of groups out there. And there's a lot of groups out there. And, Teresa, there's a lot of groups out there, you know, like Teresa just said, healthy moms. And, you know, so you're not by yourself. you're not the first, and you're hopefully you'll be the last to show to do something that's happening across the world. But you're not the first. You're not by yourself. There is somebody going through the exact same thing or something similar that you're going through. So just speak mm-hmm. out. There are a lot of groups out there. There's others too as well. And when you said that, I know there are a lot of groups out there for people that are going through the same things that you can keep you guys accountable to as well. So the more resources, the better.
And the fact that you reached out to us, we know you want help. So I hope you do take the next step from, just reaching out to the show and get what you need. Thank you again for writing into MML Radio. And, guys, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we're right at our 1 o'clock hour. I have some folks on the line that I wanted to actually get their questions answered to live, actually.
Okay.
Looks like, we're right at the wrap of the show, LaTanya. Guys, this is, I want to say this before I wrap the show up. This is like one of the first shows I've had in a really long time that, was this intense and it just carried on. And it carried on because it's so huge, these generational curses. There's so many folks' stories. I mean, we went over 6 stories, but there's 100-something folks out here that got stories about generational curses. And, Tanya, what I would like to, we've helped some folks out today, but, we need to be able to, provide something else for you guys as far as the generational curses are concerned. I know we're giving you tips today, giving you some things on, some nuggets on how you might can move forward and all that, but we don't want you guys to get off the show today and do nothing. So ideally, if today is to start doing something, and because we like to hear success stories too, and we also like to hear stories about what happened since you've listened to the show, because those are important to us as well. But we definitely would like to put together something for you guys out here that need ongoing coaching for these generational curses that are destroying your lives because they are, and if they don't stop. You turn 30, you turn 40, you turn 50, and basically you are still stuck in a generational curse. And again, you tell that family member that tells you it runs in the family, it runs out today. So, Tanya, looks like we're going to have to carry on to part 3 next week.
Okay. Let's do it,
Breaking generational curses.
Absolutely.
And Tanya and I will talk offline because we do plan to come to a few cities and facilitate a few workshops on breaking generational curses. That way you can kind of get that face-to-face time. But, again, we'll make sure you guys are subscribed to the show because those of you that are subscribed to the show, you definitely will get you'll get the information first about how we would like to move forward and continuously helping because this is a really huge topic. Today it looks like we have 3,124 listeners, and it looks like 2,776 folks stayed for the entire show, Tanya.
How many?
So if we can get 2,776 folks have stayed on our show the entire show.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. We appreciate you guys. We have to get together and try to and continuously try to help these folks. This is huge. I appreciate you guys' support. And again, to reach LaTanya, Tanya, you want to tell them really quickly again how they can reach you on social media?
Yeah, thank you guys so much. You guys can reach me if you want to reach out to me, want to contact me, need directions, I can help you in any way. You want to continue some dialogue, whatever I can do, I send myself to you. You can reach me on Facebook. It's my name, LaTanya Taylor. If you decide to go onto Instagram, it is I Am Tanya Taylor. And I also have a website. You can go to www.latanyataylormade.com. Thanks, Teresa. Thanks, guys.
No, and thank you. And, guys, of course, you know how you can reach me. I am TMI Speaks across all media's social media outlets. Again, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. And we will carry on part 3 of Breaking Generational Curses next week. And we will see you guys. And, again, thank you again for tuning in. And have a great rest of the week on purpose.
Where you at?
again, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy, and until we speak again, have a great rest of the weekend on purpose.